heaven I forfeited, my soul, once true to God, is chosen for hell.
A direct quote from Karl Marx, fully exposed in Dr. Paul Kenger's new book, The Devil and Karl Marx, available now at tanbooks.com.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Have you ever seen the output of a 3D printer? They're pretty neat. If you know anyone, or maybe you yourself have a 3D printer, I think that I would be distracted like half the week just creating these random things with a 3D printer. But this one was really cool. So there's this incredible story of a gift that a 3D printer and its technology was able to give a new mom. There was a blind mom who had glaucoma when she was born, and she also has a visually impaired husband. When they went in for their 20-week ultrasound, that typical anatomy scan that often scares the heebie-jeebies out of many mothers because they put so much pressure on all of the tests, what they ended up happening is the mother couldn't see any of the images of her child, and she left the doctor's office in tears. Now, thanks to some pretty incredible doctors who recognized they could do something about this, a week later, Taylor and her husband Jeremy ended up receiving a special delivery in the mail, and it was a 3D printout of their baby girl, Rosalie. A 3D printout that allowed them to feel, touch, and embrace their child in the womb that would one day be in their arms. And that baby, baby Rosalie, is now 10 weeks old. It's one of those stories that just reminds me, life's worth living. It's worth fighting for. It has a face, a personality. The child isn't even an it. The child is a person, male or female, created unique. And this is something we've been hearing so much about as we continue to fight that battle over life. And I'm so thankful for these incredible doctors who wanted to give these parents just one more glimpse into the womb before they'd meet their child face to face and be able to feel her in their arms. You're listening to Trending with Timory. Welcome to our marriage hour. That's quite a miracle for one marriage. We're going to be talking about how your marriage or your dating relationship can be transformed. Remember, our marriage hour isn't just for those who are married, although we'll get into some really great topics surrounding perfectionism within marriage and looking to the model of St. Monica today on her feast day and St. Augustine tomorrow, and how St. Monica sets this incredible example for us in how we can pray for, intercede, and what we can do when we have wayward family members, maybe a spouse. Maybe it's not everything your spouse is doing or everything your child's doing, but one thing in particular. How do you handle that from a distinctly Catholic perspective? And how do we overcome this culture of perfectionism and reach toward holiness? First, I want to kick off here with a song, which I'll play for you in just a moment. But I want to let you know, Christina Pineda, our in-house matchmaker, will be joining us today on Trending with Timory. We're going to be talking about friend zone and being a friend before dating, whether or not that's a good thing. You can actually go and vote on Twitter. There is a link that we post on Twitter getting your thoughts on the whole friend zone, friends before dating, and how this impacts a relationship. So go and vote before the show. We're Christina joins us in just a little bit. We'll also be talking about the impact that drinking has had on dating during the quarantine. But check out this incredible song that will help us unpack a little bit of the marriage of Thomas Rhett and his wife, Lauren Akins, here on Trending.
She wants to get married. She wants it perfect. She wants her granddaddy preaching the service. Not too many people save a daddy some money. I can see it all right now. I'll wear my black suit, black tie out in the back. Yeah, she wanna get married, but she don't wanna marry me.
I love that song. I actually heard it for the first time today when I was looking at more of country music artist Thomas Rhett and his wife Lauren Aiken's story. You may remember a few months ago, I shared with you an interview Thomas Rhett and his wife Lauren did with Kelly Clarkson on her show during quarantine. And Kelly Clarkson full on was in tears, like ugly crying during her show, over the incredible adoption story of the Rhett family, of this little girl and their journey of infertility, which is so common in our culture. We've been talking a lot about it here on Trending as I've shared my own story as well. But here's what's really neat. Thomas Rhett and his wife Lauren have been very open about their marriage, especially since quarantine has kicked off. Reminds me a little bit of Justin Bieber and his wife as well. Now, Lauren recently released a new book, Live and Love, Growing Together Through Life's Changes. And in an interview with E! Hollywood and other groups talking about her new book, she's commented about how one of the reasons she wrote this book essentially has to do with perfectionism. And I have to tell you, it's really interesting to hear her comment that because she made a really clear indication in what she was saying, that her marriage and her family are not perfect. And this stood out to me because I remember in college, a dear friend of mine was always talking about how she was trying to be the perfect girlfriend, trying to buy the perfect gifts for Christmas, for friends, family members, but especially for that boyfriend, and how they were going to have the perfect relationship. And she'd talk about relationship goals and marriage goals and would go on and on and on. Well, I can tell you they're not married. They're not even dating anymore. But what I can tell you is that this perfectionism doesn't just impact the dating world, it impacts marriages as well. And I think that Lauren Aiken's wanting to share that, you know, my marriage isn't perfect, because she sees a lot of people hashtagging on social media couple goals when they see Lauren and Thomas Rhett. You see, this is a couple that's known each other since first grade. And she's making it pretty clear they're like any other couple. They struggle, they fight, but they work it out. They love their marriage, they love their family. And I have to say, perfectionism, I think, often influences so many of us. Perfectionism, unfortunately, though, isn't about having a good relationship. It's about being perfect from the exterior, whether it's what others perceive about our relationships, ourselves, or perhaps this perfectionism also has to do with what we want our spouse to see about who we are. We want our spouse to think that we're perfect in some ways, yet at the same time, we want them to know we're not perfect because they should accept our flaws, yet at the same time, they should just, you know, see that, you know, you're the perfect wife, you're the perfect spouse, the perfect husband. So how should we approach this problem of perfectionism in general as Catholics? Rather than emphasizing perfectionism in career, parenting, and marriage, how about we talk about holiness? You see, marriage is a path to holiness. It's one of the vocations that we are given to journey toward God, and in this case, together with another person. And I think it's pretty neat because the church gives us some incredible guidelines for how we can live out holy marriages. And it's a pretty tall order that we need those constant reminders of. So let's unpack how we can really strive toward holiness within marriage, looking to the ideals that the church has laid out since the beginning of Christianity. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Trending with Timory. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 1-888-914-9149, or head over to my Instagram, where you can actually comment live on my Instagram story asking a question, and we'll look at taking it during the show. So here are some resources that we can unpack with some really key pieces of wisdom from the saints, the church, and priests who have gone before us. In the document Casti Canubi, which was written by Pope Pius XI, he quotes St. Augustine, whose feast day is tomorrow, and he talks about how St. Augustine referred to St. Paul's work in Ephesians chapter 5 as the order of love. And this order of love is spelled out in a very practical and beautiful imagery in the church document Casti Canubi. You see, it emphasizes how a husband is the head of the home, like Christ, and calls the husband to lay down his life for his bride, like Christ did for the church. And in this document, it also talks about how the wife is the heart of the home. Listen to this beautiful quote that sets that ideal up quite lovely, but is also very difficult to achieve. For if the man is the head, the woman is the heart. And as he occupies the chief place in ruling, so she may and ought to claim for herself the chief place in love. Now many spouses will complain, well, my spouse does this. My spouse doesn't do that. This is impossible. And that's understandable when people say that. I think this is why St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, also known as Edith Stein, talks about this a great deal in her writings on the proper roles of men and women. She talks about how essentially male and femaleness in our relationships and our marriages need to be redeemed. She talks about how we can't rebel against nature, but the only thing that can really redeem how we interact in our relationships and work toward that complementarity of male and female dynamics, which is so beautifully laid out by St. Paul, St. Augustine, and Pope Pius XI. What she emphasizes is that we can't rebel against nature, but instead must humbly submit to the God-given order. And she says each one is called to imitation of Christ. And St. Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, is her chosen name when she became a religious sister after converting from both atheism and growing up as a Jew. So you see, she really focuses on the fact that here we have these male-female complementarities and differences, the functions of men and women in relationships. And we'll unpack this more as the weeks go on because there's so much wisdom from St. Edith Stein. However, she continues to say, this isn't possible if we rebel against nature and we don't humbly submit ourselves to God. And so I want to encourage couples, pray with Ephesians chapter 5. St. Paul wrote about the various vocations of husband and wife. And there's a lot of wisdom that can be unpacked. I challenge couples, married or even as you're preparing for marriage, to read separately Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33, and then spend time after that reading these words together, these words of wisdom on marriage, and discuss them. What do I need to do to change, to work toward Christian holiness in marriage? Not perfection, holiness. I'm also tweeting some of these links now, which you can find on social media, because I think so many of us want to go deeper in our faith journey with our spouses, for our family, but we don't really know what to do. We just say, I want this relationship to be perfect, but we sometimes miss out on how to get there. Bishop Olmsted wrote this letter a couple years ago to married couples and families titled Complete My Joy. In a final thought on the topic of perfectionism, I keep thinking of some of the words he commented on about how we live in a culture of doing, doing, going, and going nonstop. And he said, quote, today, nearly all families in a world of extreme busyness, where there are countless activities, even good and wholesome ones, sap energy and time and leave families drained and disconnected. How do we overcome this drained disconnection that families are experiencing because of that Energizer Bunny type of attitude where we just go and continuously run and try to be perfect and try to please everyone? My question to you, no matter what state in life you're in, is how do you overcome perfectionism? What do you need to take out of your life so that holiness can come first? You're listening to Trending with Timory. If you'd like to weigh in on the conversation, the number's 1-888-914-9149.